We pray that you would arise and demonstrate your power this morning. As your word is opened, we know there's power in that word, and as it's proclaimed, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that your word would not return to you void, but instead, by your power, and by our listening, and by our taking it to heart, that we would be fruitful for your kingdom. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to share with you the scripture for this morning is from Genesis, the first book in the Bible, chapter 2, verses 18 to 22. This is continuing the story of God's creation. God has created a bunch of different things in all of creation, and he has also created the first human being, Adam. So listen to these words from Genesis chapter 2. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. I want to continue this series that we've been engaged in since last weekend was the first message. It's called Living Life Together, and I want to start with a fun little quiz. This is an interactive quiz because, yes, in church sometimes it's okay to talk back, you know, so it's just not me talking. So you can just shout out the answers. There's no, you know, taking out a piece of paper and numbering it 1 to 5 down the left side, and there's going to be no grade for this quiz. But this quiz is going to have to do with animals. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the name of a particular animal or a particular species of animals. And what I want you to do is give me the collective name for those animals, what those animals are called when they're together in a group. So it's kind of like, you know, if I were to say to you, wolf, pack. Okay, so you get the idea. That's good. So we're going to start with some easy ones. And then we'll move to some harder ones, okay? So first one is fish. Okay, school. Okay, how about antelopes? I had a pack and I had a herd. It's herd. How about seagulls? Flock. Flock of seagulls. That actually used to be a band. The flock of seagulls, right? Okay, how about some harder ones now? What do you call a bunch of buzzards together? I heard noisy, I heard flock. The answer is New York Giants fans. No, a bunch of buzzards together are actually called a wake of buzzards. Okay, how about a bunch of sharks that come together that congregate? What do you call them? It's a shiver of sharks. A shiver of sharks. Yes. What do you call a bunch of people that get together? You call that community, and that's what we're talking about this morning. We're going to talk this morning about finding community. You call a bunch of people that come together community. See, church, you and I, we were created, God made us to live in community together. From the very beginning, from the very first parts of our Bible, one of the key truths that comes through is that you and I, all human beings, were created to be together. We were created to be in community. When God was bringing together all of God's good creation, thanks. I forgot the message intro video. Sorry. But when God, and it's the next slide, Alex. When God was bringing together all of God's good creation, it came time for the man to be brought forth. Adam, as he's called in the Bible. And so God makes Adam. But then he stands back and he says, it's not good for this man to be alone. And so God creates all these animals as a suitable partner for Adam. And he brings them all before Adam, and Adam gives them names, but none of them will quite do for Adam. And so the Bible says this: the Lord God made him fall into a deep sleep, and he took out one of the man's ribs. Then after closing the man's side, the Lord made a woman out of the rib. He made him fall into a sleep. Then he took out his rib and made a woman. You know, see, before there was ever a house. Anybody watch that show, House? You know, for those of you in the 80s, MacGyver. You know, before there was House or before there was MacGyver, there was God Almighty. You see, God could do those types of things. But, you know, you might be thinking, sitting there thinking, wait a minute, that just sounds kind of strange and I'm not so sure about this. How is it that, you know, a person can be brought forth out of somebody else's rib? And you'd be right to think that. But the point that the Bible is trying to make is not necessarily that we should get caught up in arguing about whether God could really, you know, take out somebody's rib and create a whole other human being out of that. But the principle and the point of the Bible here is that we all need community. People need other people. No one can do life alone. It was not good for man to be alone. We need one another even more than we think, because that's the way that God made us. Pure and simple. To be in community together. Now, if you or I were created to be in community, if you and I were created so that we need each other, so that, you know, we could encourage one another, so that we could be there for one another, so that we could pray for one another, if you and I need that, that raises certain issues for us. And among those issues that it raises, if we're created to be in community, one of the things about our world is that community in our world today, in our culture, in our society, in our community is hard to come by. As we whirl around in our lives, in all of our busyness, it's hard to find community. It's hard to find community, you know, when you got to take your kids here and there to the orthodontist appointment or to, or to the soccer game, or to the baseball field, or to ballet, or to wherever. You know, it's hard to begin to form community with other people when you have your own chores to do. It's hard to find community with other people as you run around like a chicken with your head cut off. People today are busier than ever. Now, they tell me, because this happened before I was born, that it used to be that people, after church on Sunday, and this is kind of taking into account that most people used to go to church on Sunday. You know, we no longer have home court advantage as people of faith, as the church. But when people used to go to church, and it was kind of expected that most people on your block went to church, that after church on Sunday morning, people then would, for recreation and entertainment purposes, go and visit with other people. So that after church, you went to go visit with family. So that after church, Sunday afternoons was reserved for going to visit with friends. And so what would happen is that the kids would go outside and play. The adults would sit around the table and drink coffee. And then usually there was some type of Sunday meal involved. And it was in those ways that people found community. Community amongst friends, community among family. The thing is now is that we don't have to do that because we have so many other options for entertainment and recreation. That who wants to go and hang out with you know, family and friends, per se, when we can go to the movies? Who wants to go and do that because we have to catch up with all the stuff we didn't get done during the week because we were so busy taking our kids here or there or doing our chores? You know, it's indeed interesting, too, that today we are more connected than we've ever been. We're more connected than we've ever been. You know, we have MySpace, and we have Facebook, and we have instant messaging, and we have text messaging, and we have email. We're very connected. We are so connected, in fact, that we can communicate and do business with people 5,000 miles across the world. The world, in many ways, has shrunk because we're very connected. But for many of us, and I want to say probably many in our community, we are so connected, yet we barely know our neighbor besides a polite wave as we go in and out of garages or out to the mailbox. One pastor I was listening to talk about this very issue, he described it this way: we are high on connection in our culture, but low on community. We're high on connection, but low on community. But you've heard me said, God designed us to be in community. He designed the whole human race to be in community together, so that we can be picked up when we are fallen down, so that we can be encouraged and embraced when we are hurting. However, in our world, it seems that we're encouraged not to be in community. Not intentionally, but unintentionally by what we do. Let me tell you, though, that God has created us to be in community, and He has given us a solution to find that community. That God has called forth and brought forth a place to find community. And I want to suggest to you that it's called the church. Now, those of you who were here last week and were able to be here heard me talk about some people, particularly 20 to 30-year-olds, that were done a study. And they held some pretty negative views of the church. And you know what, if we're honest, and I'm talking about the church as a whole here, not a particular church, but the Christian church, all churches. If we're honest, you know, the church doesn't have a perfect history. The church does have a somewhat of a dark history at times. You might have heard of this thing called the Crusades, way back when, hundreds of years ago, where we basically went around and killed people unless they converted to Christianity because we wanted to save the world from Islam. Or then, you know, it was the church's history that the church was silent or reluctant to speak up when we trafficked human beings as a way of economic life in our country. And even today, you know, the church has its marks against it. You know, it's kind of like people. It's kind of like people. Just as there's no perfect people, there's no perfect church, including New Season Church. So we can just say that. Yet with all that is wrong with the church, with all of our warts, with all of our pimples, with all of our dark history, with all the ways that we even fail today, the fact remains that God continues to use the church, as imperfect as we are, to be His primary instrument in the world to help other people find community. Now, we often get that word church confused, don't we? I mean, I do it all the time. We think of church as a building. So we say things like, and again, I say it all the time, I am going to church. And we mean that we are going to the building. Or I went this past Sunday to church. We say things like that all the time. We think of church as a location. But do you know that in the Bible in the New Testament, where we first get the concept of church, never ever speaks of the church as a building. Instead, the Bible speaks of the church as a people. Check out this next slide. That's the church. It's people, you see. This is always a teaching moment for me because, you know, from time to time, people from New Season will come up to me and they'll say, Pastor, when are we going to be a real church? Or I'll get people from, you know, the denomination that will come and say, hey, how's everything going? When are you going to be a real church? And what they really mean is, when are you going to get a piece of land and build a building? And so it's a teachable moment for me, and I kind of chuckle, and after I get done slapping them back and forth, I say to them, we are a church because the church is a people. The church is a people. We are a real church. And it's among people, you see, that community is discovered. It's not a building that makes community and helps people find community. It's a people. Now, let me share with you today three different levels or layers of community. That if you're trying and searching for community today, because as we've seen already, we're all created to be in community, then you can see how each layer of these circles, these concentric circles that I'm going to show you, each layer represents getting further and further to the core of what God intends for a community. You can kind of picture this as these concentric circles. And at the core of the circle, in the middle of the circle, is community. So I want to lay out to you how those phases work and move through from the outside of the circle to the inside. So I think the next slide is actually the circles. Alex, if you can go to that real quick. There we go. So those are the three layers of finding community that we're going to talk about. The first layer of community, spiritually speaking, has to do with identifying with a local church. Community starts, finding community starts, and I have this, on, by the way, on your message download, and I had it, and I actually finished it pretty early this week, and I had it ready to run off, to put in your worship program, the outline, and you know how that goes. I have one copy if anybody wants it. But if you're looking for community and you're trying to find community, the first part, the first level is identifying with a local church. You have to decide to come to church. Here you choose to identify with a group of people. You choose to belong. So that when someone asks you, where do you attend? You say, I attend at New Season Church, or I go to XYZ Church. This layer of community reflects a decision on your part to sink roots in, to grow spiritually. This layer is best represented by the action of attending a worship service on a Sunday morning. That's kind of the first layer of community. It makes sense that that would be the first layer of community, because community always starts with a sense of belonging. And so we're saying, by identifying with a local church, you are saying, I have a sense of belonging. You have to opt in, otherwise there's not much community at all. Now, on this, I need my laser pointer. On the circle here, you know what? Some of you, all of you who are here today, just about probably, are there. Otherwise you wouldn't be here today. But for those of you who are there, and those of you who are in the next circles that I'm going to talk about, here's what I want to say to you. It's our job to cooperate with God's plan for the church to be a place for community. Well, how do we do that, you ask? How is it that we cooperate with the power of God that is working to help people take this first step to get connected to a local church? Well, I want to tell you how we do that, and I want to tell you how we do that at New Season. See, at New Season Church, it starts before anybody even gets here. It starts when someone logs on to newseasonumc.org. Because we know that most people aren't going to pick up the phone and say, what do you have for children's ministries at your church? Instead, they're going to do the anonymous thing and log on to newseasonumc.org, which is designed, by the way, for people who are trying to find community, which is designed, by the way, for people who have stopped going to church or people who have never been to church. And they will get some information there. And then they will drive to the church. And this is how we demonstrate radical hospitality. And they will see signs on Route 17 directing them to where the church is. And then they'll arrive in the parking lot and they'll get out of their car. And they'll see signs showing where the entrance is. Now, we all think we know where the entrance is, but somebody coming for the first time won't know necessarily where the entrance is. And so they get out of their car and they see an arrow pointing this way. And then they come across somebody on the sidewalk who says, hey, good morning, and they smile at them. They're sending the message, we're glad that you are here. And then they come through the door. And you know what? There's a sign saying, hey, this is where the worship space is. Go this way. And there's another person that's there to say, hey, we're glad that you're here. And then another person that says, here's a worship program for you. And by the way, in that worship program is some verbs and some nouns and some explanation about what in the world it is we do here at the church, so you don't feel so out of place, and it gives you something to read when you sit down. And then, you know what, after church we say, hey, stop by our information center and pick up a gift, because we're glad that you have been here. See, we do that to demonstrate radical hospitality, to help people take the first step and get to the first circle. It's often said that when people are looking for community, the questions that they ask, when they're trying to find community, the questions they ask is, can I fit in here? Do I belong? Is there anybody else here? See, you and I, church, have the privilege to cooperate with God as He brings people to the church. You see, because each person that comes through the doors of the church, they're a gift from God. particularly when they're a guest for the first time. They're a gift from God. And just like all the rest of our gifts, it becomes a stewardship issue. And that is, what are we going to do with this gift that has come through? Do we treat them poorly? Do we look at them funny because we've never seen them before? Do we turn and look at them when their baby cries? Mercy. Now I'm getting into meddling. Okay? But how do we treat that person? Because you know what? God has worked in that person's life somehow, in some way, to bring them here for the first time. And we better do a good job of creating the environment that is necessary to help that person find community and get connected at this first level. Okay, second level, before I have to take high blood pressure medicine. Here's the second level of community. That's when people in a church move from just coming on Sundays and maybe knowing a few people and a few people's names to actually joining with those people that gather in the large group setting in companionship. In companionship. That's the next circle that moves closer to the core of community. This circle, level, or layer could probably be best summed up by someone making the move from deciding that the church is a friendly church to the church being a place where they have friends. I've often heard it said, and I think it's right, that people aren't so much looking for a friendly church as they are for a church in which to have friends. It kind of be the difference between knowing your neighbor on the level of kind of waving to them politely across the yard to actually having dinner with them two or three times a year. There's one thing that is certain, and that is that relationships that move beyond hi, how are you niceties will solidify us as a spiritual community and help people find community. See, all of us deep down have that need for such community. Persons outside the four walls of the church have the need for such community. You know, especially people that move here and don't know anybody, or the person that's just gone through a major life change, someone in their family has died, or they've had a baby. But you see, friends, you can't go to the next level of discovering the community that God intends, to getting to the core of that circle of community as God intends, by just staying in the larger group. When you stop and think about it, it's when we get into smaller groups that we learn about one another, that we're better able to care for one another, that we can pray for one another. All that is so much less likely to happen for lasting friendships to be made in the large group gathering. Now, don't get me wrong. If you only come to the large group, if you only come on Sunday mornings, that's great. Please keep coming. But, if you want to go to the next level, if you want to take that next step in finding community, then I want to invite you and challenge you and encourage you to get involved in a small group, a short-term class, a community-building exercise at the church, or be in one of the serving groups, such as helping to unload the truck, or being an usher or a greeter in one of those groups. It's then, you see, that you take that next step. Now, the final and deepest level where we can find community in God's church occurs when we do indeed step up to serve. Again, it's great to come on Sunday morning, and it's great, you know, even to get involved in a small group or a class, but to get even further and experience community as God intends it. God calls us to serve, to get to a place of maturity in our spiritual life where we say, you know what? I've gone through these levels. I first identified with the church. Then I got involved on a smaller level and got to meet some really great people and felt community, and I care for them and they care for me, and I experienced that. That's wonderful. Now I'm going to help other people. I'm going to help other people experience the same thing that I've experienced. That's where we're all trying to move towards so we can get to that point. Because you know what? That's the thing about following Jesus, is that the more we give up and the more we sacrifice, the more we actually get. Jesus once said, if you want to gain your life, You first have to lose it. I want to make a challenge this morning. And here's the challenge. The challenge that I want to make to everyone is to spend some time thinking about where you are in all that. Where would you plot yourself in one of those circles? I imagine that we're all at different points, and that's okay. We're all going to start somewhere and be somewhere. But find out where you are, and then pray to God, God, what are you calling me to do or be a part of to go to the next level, to find community? And I want to challenge us to get our game on so that we can be a church that's in the business of creating environments, number one, for people to get connected at that first level and identify, but number two, even to be a church where the people here can come to experience community as God intends it, because He created us for it. Will you join me in prayer? Let's pray. God, we thank You that by Your very nature, You are community. You have created us to be in community with one another. And it feels right and good. Help us, O God, to take those steps, to live out Your intention for us. Take away fear and trepidation, and give us a boldness that we could discover the riches that You have laid out. Lord, we know that church and this church sometimes falls short of what You would have us to do and to be. But Lord, we pray that You would take our effort, and we know that through Your power, You can connect people to us, and that here, people could be nurtured and loved and encouraged as You would have them to be. These things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.